This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. On this beautiful, again, Tuesday, it's absolutely gorgeous out there again. And Mike is, you're back, so you're doing wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. Not to belabor the point, but I have almost no hearing as a result of a couple of ear infections and a resulting eardrum ruptures. However, when I put headphones on, I can hear because they serve as giant hearing aids.
So they're pretty giant, Mike.
they really are, but they get the job done, Carol, and that's the important thing, because trying to have conversation without them on at this point, with probably only 10 or 20% hearing, doesn't work. And so I find myself, if I'm on the street or I'm out somewhere, I don't make eye contact with people because I don't want to talk to anybody because I can't hear them. And it seems really rude because I'm so not that way. I went into a store here just about an hour ago and ordered something. I explained right away, look, I got a really bad ear infection, so I'm going to hopefully get this right because I can't hear what you're saying. So anyway, bottom line is, good to be here.
Beautiful.
And I saw you put aside a really good-looking salad. We talked yesterday on air about salads that you can make in a jar.
Mason
you turn
jar.
Them over. Everything is in there, like Z used to do on Elm Street. Tom Puskowitz did a great job with that. I'd never seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
And you ran with that idea.
I did. I made my first one last night. It's like a little take on a Caprese one.
Okay.
And I took the mason jar and you know, when I read quite a few of the recipes, and you start with the wet on the bottom. So you start with your dressing on the bottom. And so mine was layered with, and it's in a pint jar. It's in a pint mason jar. And I put a little less than 2 tablespoons of low-fat balsamic at the bottom, and then about 5 or 6 cherry tomatoes. And then I put about 5 or 6, you know, those balls of mozzarella.
Oh, yes.
Put about 5 or 6 of those. And then I went with, I had made some whole grain 100% wheat pasta, mm-hmm. like the little tiny shells, and I put in about 1/2 cup of those on top, so it's all layered. And then I put spinach, and then I put some fresh, I bought a rotisserie chicken for $4.69. I mean, that's like a deal.
Rotisserie chickens are the best deal going in a store.
I think so, too.
You can't make them that good that cheap.
No, you can't. Mm-mm. I mean, I made 6 jars, plus I still have enough chicken to probably make another 3 or 4 anyway. You know, chicken left. So it's making quite a few of my salads. So I did the spinach and chicken, and then I just mushed a bunch more spinach on the top before I like shut it nice and tight. And I made 6 of them, and I made sure I gave Daryl one. I worked out this morning. I went and brought one to Michelle, and Amanda, my assistant's having one, and I put one in Midtown so that they can kind of look at it, maybe ask what it is. And, you know, we kind of started pricing it out a little bit. So, because Midtown really has all the ingredients to make it.
Yeah.
So, you know. And different kinds.
You get a production line going like anything else, maybe make 10 of them a day or whatever.
Exactly.
And see what happens, because it's very striking looking.
Yeah, they're cute.
If you do it right, it's so you probably had to kind of play with the layering.
Well, you know, I would have maybe done it a little different because it didn't show the green so much.
Oh.
You know, I should have done the green before the pasta, and it would have even looked a little prettier. You know, I kind of looked at that after, and I didn't bother to undo it. I just said, just the next time.
Well,
different kinds.
You got to go with it. I think you're the only restaurant on Elm Street that would be doing it in honor of our good friend Tom. So
yeah, so cool. I remember that too.
Yeah.
Oh, it was very good.
You know, it reminds me of building a trifle, you know, the big dessert and the big, you know, whatever dish. And so I made my first trifle last winter, and it did not look good just because all the stuff smears around, and I couldn't get everything to lay right. So I'm sure there's a trick to it. I'll eventually figure it out.
Yeah, you will.
But the salad looked terrific.
Yeah,
so.
thank you.
And think of all the combinations.
There's so many different kinds.
The Caprese theme is good with the chicken.
And you don't have to put the pasta in, you know.
No.
And I just printed off. You know what? I didn't bring it down. No, I didn't. No, I didn't bring it down. But there's a noodle soup one that you can do. Oh,
what?
That one looks really
good.
A noodle soup in a mason jar.
Jar salad?
Mm-hmm. Not salad, but a soup.
Oh, okay.
A soup. There's I got all this stuff on Pinterest. I was just discovered Pinterest.
You are now the new queen of Pinterest.
That is scary.
Huh?
Really scary. Mm-hmm. But there was a site that, or a board or whatever the heck they call them, 13 mason jar meals that are not salads, because there's a ton of salad ones. So it's kind of cool, but healthy ones. So
is there anything, speaking of healthy, is there any of them that includes bacon?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them.
Now you have my attention.
Cobb salads in the mason
Cobb salad
jar.
Is perfect for that.
Mexican ones, buffalo chicken ones. There's all kinds of them. It's crazy.
Well, there you go. A new little something possibly for Midtown Cafe.
Yes.
Open during the broadcast. Come have lunch. Step down. Say hi to us. Make faces through the window if you'd like.
That's right. You can come and even have some New England coffee in our green room if you'd like.
It's very
right
true.
On down.
Yeah, we got it all going on here.
We do.
And in a couple minutes, we're going to be talking popcorn, which if I had to pick, you know, two or three foods in my life that they said, okay, this is all you can live with now, either on an island or whatever, popcorn would be in my top three. I mean, potatoes
really?
Might be in there as well. Yeah, I am such a fan of popcorn, and the best popcorn maker in the state is Michelle Holbrook and her totally awesome gourmet popcorn, of which there is an abundance scattered about our studio here today, just calling out your name.
A little crazy. I'm staring at, and I cannot wait till she comes on, because I'll wait until she comes on before I open it, but I'm looking at the Moose Track one.
Oh, yeah.
That looks crazy. I mean, she has Moose Track here, salt and vinegar, chocolate coconut. Yeah, looks really good.
Yeah, they have like a regular sort of chemistry experimental lab as part of, you know, coming up with new ideas.
It must.
We'll have her explain how that happens.
Don't you think we need to be a judge for that or something? I think she should invite us to judge some new flavors.
Well, I would certainly be up for that.
We could have a food for thought flavor or something.
Well, they're in Epsom, so we'll have to take the Epsom A train to get out there for Manchester. Right. But what do we have for a food holiday today?
Today's food holiday is National Pecan Day. Do you call it pecan or pecans? What do you say?
You know, it depends on what day it is. It's like Windham or Windham. You know, I don't think there is any right or any wrong, even though people will criticize you.
They do.
Especially Windham versus Windham.
So you're supposed to say Windham?
I like to say Windham because it upsets all
too.
The Windham people that have their noses in the air when they
and
say it that
And that's where you
way.
Live, right?
Yeah.
Windham.
That is where I live. I don't usually admit that publicly, but you pretty much called me out on it.
Sorry.
So that's okay. I live on the side of the tracks known as Windham.
There you go.
So, but pecans or pecans, what we do for salads is Barb actually roasts them. In some kind of a little glaze thing, and just lightly sugars them, and you toss it onto a salad with maybe some goat cheese in a bed of spinach, a couple other things. That's pretty good.
You know, that is one thing that I cannot do is put nuts on my food. I don't know why. I'm anti.
Do you like nuts just in your hand, or
I'm not a huge like to eat pecans. No. No, almonds, no. I mean, I like cashews, but that's probably the worst one to eat.
Oh, my God.
You know, like roasted cashews.
I love cashews.
Yeah. But that's about it. I'm not, and you know, I don't eat those very often.
Well, all nuts are good for you.
They are.
I mean, really.
Pistachios every once in a while.
Yes.
You know,
now that they don't make red ones anymore, it's not as gross opening them up.
But it was always fun. You always get your fingers full of red. And
didn't ring my bell
actually,
as a kid. Sorry.
I was looking yesterday for some ingredients for some mason jar salads, and because I have a couple other stuff for, you know, ingredients for the other ones I'm going to do. So I was shopping for some black olives. And then did you see on the cans of them, they have like the pictures of the little kids with their fingers on? It's so cute. I was like,
that's
oh
smart,
my gosh.
Though, isn't it?
It is. It's so cute. Yeah. And they, you know, they're good for you, too.
Some little kid's college got paid for by just modeling his hand full of olives, for God's sake. Hey, whatever it takes. So that's it. It's Pecan Day, and that's it.
National Pecan Day. National Pecan Day, National Library Week. Yeah, we didn't
hardly a food holiday.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I love libraries.
Although, UK, it's a National Gardening Week.
It is?
It is.
Well, if the ground ever thaws, it'll be Gardening Week here as well.
I know, and until then. And maybe just remind some people about Taste of the Nations tomorrow night. You can still go get tickets. It benefits No Kid Hungry, and you can get your tickets at nokidhungry.org. And that's Wednesday night, the 15th, at the Radisson Hotel from 6 to 9. And if you get VIP tickets, they let you in at 5, so you get in a little bit ahead.
Very nice.
And you get premium wine.
Also want to mention later in the show today from the McCarthys on CBS, local comedian Jimmy Dunn, who plays the big, oafy, dumb son of the family from South Boston.
Fun.
Yeah, he's Sean McCarthy, and he has a twin brother on the show. named Gerard, who's about half his size. And it was funny, one of the episodes they actually showed them in a baby picture, and one looked like he was three, and the other one looks like he was one. It's a very funny show, and has not been renewed yet for next season, but we hope it is. There's still two unaired episodes that have not seen the light of day. So that's a really tough business when you got all the
new
shows,
scary.
You know, kind of jockeying for a position.
Right.
We'll see what Jimmy can shed on that. So he'll be joining us at 1:10 this afternoon. And I want to mention on Wednesday from Deadliest Catch, Captain Wild
Thursday.
Bill. Thursday, I'm sorry. That's
Wednesday,
right.
We're not going to be here, which we should tell people.
That's true. Big Red Sox Day tomorrow, pregame and all that stuff. So we'll take the day off. You'll enjoy the Red Sox here on The Pulse. And then Wild Bill from Deadliest Catch will be here with us on Thursday at 12:20. And
That'll
he is a character. If you've seen the show, you know it's going to be worth tuning in for.
Definitely watch the show. I love that show. And isn't tonight the premiere?
It
Tuesday
is.
Night? Yeah, tonight at
season
9.
11.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah, on Discovery.
And there's a bit of a prank that will be pulled on Wild Bill. And he, you know, I saw the video, the tease of it. So I can tell you that it has something to do with his boat being hijacked. We'll leave it there.
Boy.
Pretty bizarre stuff.
Fun. All right. Should you, do you want to give a shout out to some sponsors?
Why don't we do that? And then we'll take a quick break.
Yeah.
I want to say our broadcast every day from the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester on Elm Street. Belmont Hall and Restaurant on Grove Street, belmonthall.net. Top quality food made fresh for over 50 years. And Red Arrow Diners. They're everywhere. They're sprouting up like mushrooms. Well, not quite, but Manchester, Milford, and now you can't miss it. Right off exit 5 and 93 in Londonderry, the brand new Red Arrow Diner with their very first drive-through, redarrowdiner.com. Two of our many sponsors. We appreciate their support.
There we go. And you're listening to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester, as Mike just said, and we're going to go on a short break, and we'll be back with Michelle of Totally Awesome Gourmet Popcorn.
Yum.
We're going to eat some popcorn. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. You are listening to 107.7 WTPL FM. We're in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, and you can also stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com, and it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And we'd also love for you to like us on Facebook. You can go to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And very, very soon, I even think tomorrow, I think I just approved it today. Actually, I did. So it's just, I think she said 24 hours for our brand new website to come up.
I got a peek at it.
Doesn't it look really good?
Nice. Yeah.
Did you kind of get to go through it a little bit?
Yeah, I did it on my phone. It's a little harder on the phone. And I'm not sure if it's if it allows for that. But I have to say I was very impressed with the library of shows that you could listen to. I'm not sure how that's done. How that's being recorded and how that gets up there.
Yep.
But like for months and months and months, every hour of every show can be heard.
Yes.
So
that's very cool.
If you want to torture yourself, folks, this is a new way to do that. Well, I speak of myself because we're here doing the show.
But we don't need to listen to them.
No. But you know, one of the benefits of doing a show like Food for Thought is that we are occasionally fed by our guests.
Yes.
And today is no exception. Mm. 4 years ago, I met Michelle Holbrook, probably at a Made in New Hampshire expo, and she can probably tell you because my memory is not that good. But I realized that she had some good stories to tell about her exploits in selling popcorn, which might seem like kind of a mundane thing to make. Popcorn is one of the perfect foods. As I said earlier, put me on an island. That's one of a couple foods that I would take for the rest of my life if I can have all the variety of flavors that Michelle's Totally Awesome Gourmet Popcorn makes. There are stores in Epsom. Their website is nhpopcorn.com, but it's so much better to see it and try it in person.
Mm.
Michelle Holbrook, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great to see you as well. I can't believe you hadn't met Carol before because you guys sort of travel in the same circles as far as events go.
Yep, but when you do events you're behind your own table and don't get out much, it's hard to meet anybody other than who's next to you. So that's probably why.
That's a very good point. So how long has Michelle's been in existence? Because I've known you for 4 years.
We have been popping popcorn for, we just celebrated 8 years in February.
And it's a family-run business pretty much, right?
Yes, it is myself, my oldest son, Jesse, and my youngest daughter, Madison, for the most part. My husband and my other son do help out when needed. But yeah, basically.
Like this week, because you got to make a whole bunch of it for the Made in New Hampshire show, right?
Well, Jesse is at the shop right now making popcorn for the Made in Hampshire Expo this weekend. But yes, it'll be all hands on deck this weekend with everybody either working in our store that's attached to where we make everything or at the show itself. Yes.
Very cool.
Very cool.
All right, so you mentioned your son, Jesse, and I think, as I recall, he's sort of the mastermind of a lot of the new experimental flavors, doesn't he?
Yes, Jesse has an associate's degree in culinary arts. He actually joined me full-time when we moved from being home-based to Epsom in 2011. Prior to that, he was kind of like volunteering
his time.
And
you're still talking, so that's good.
Yes, yes. Well, he's much older now, so he's easier to talk
True.
With.
And you've stayed the same age, so that kind of worked out, right?
Yeah, exactly. So he has a lot of the knowledge of, especially when it comes to our savory flavors, all the seasonings, and that's kind of what sets us apart from other popcorn companies out there, is we do a lot of our own custom seasoned blends for our savory flavors, which are all masterminded by most, like 90% of them, by Jesse.
So if I came to you and I said, I would like this combination of popcorn, would you make it for me and just sell it to me for whatever the minimal batch might be? Even if it's awful, it's something that I have to have, and I commission you to make it?
I guess it would depend on what it was and if whatever it was to make it is available to us, because that's the other side of it. I mean, we get a lot of customer requests for flavors, and if we hear it enough times, we'll definitely stop and take a second note and see if what it takes to put that flavor together actually exists out there. To give you an example, a lot of popcorn companies make a flavor called loaded baked potato.
Ooh.
But we are, and really it's just like bacon and cheddar to make it taste like what you put on the potato. But Jesse has tried numerous times to actually make it taste like
a potato.
And we've just been unsuccessful with that. So we had to kind of table it. But that's what I'm saying about where things need to be available in order for us to feel good about what we're making. So.
Yes. Now, you brought me a bag of, you know, it's my favorite. It's the New England maple.
Yes.
Popcorn. Which kind of looks like caramel corn just by its appearance, but obviously we know it's locally sourced New England maple, right? Where do you get it from?
We get our maple syrup from Ben's Sugar Shack in Temple, New Hampshire. He's our maple provider. It took about 3 years to perfect that.
Wow.
Now, I'm not saying 3 years of working on it every day, but
right,
because that would just be crazy. But a lot of money was spent on maple syrup and trying to get it right. I mean, I'm not a maple producer, so I know there's a lot of different properties in working with maple syrup, and it was tough. But we finally, after numerous attempts, because we wanted to use real maple syrup, a lot of popcorn out there is just maple flavoring, which doesn't have the same kind of taste.
It's brown corn syrup. It's disgusting.
Yeah. So we wanted to use real maple syrup and New Hampshire maple syrup. And so we tried and tried and tried and tried. And we finally, we felt that we had it good enough. And we did actually have various maple producers try it as well. And they said that we did an awesome job. So that's when we decided to sell it to the public. And it has been a strong flavor since we brought it out. I think it's been about a year and a half, maybe 2 years now.
Now, is that your best flavor? Favorite flavor of customers is what I mean. I don't mean
well,
best
no,
flavor.
I mean, you have to like maple syrup to like it. I think our strongest is our caramel popcorn, which is actually the base in a lot of the deluxe flavors that we sell, start out as caramel popcorn. And we did win a Best of New Hampshire in 2009 for our caramel popcorn.
Mm.
It is made from a real recipe. We use brown sugar, real butter, Madagascar bourbon vanilla extract. So it's the real deal, and we are pretty proud of that.
Yeah, it's great. What was the most difficult challenge with the maple-flavored popcorn that took 3 years to finally get it right?
Well, it kept coming out really chewy, and most of the time it was really chewy. Other times it was coming out really grainy, so even though it tasted right, the mouthfeel was bleh. You know, I mean, nobody wants to eat grainy popcorn, so it was just finding that perfect balance of the right amounts of the ingredients and the right temperature and time in cooking the product. So and that's what makes our company. It's our formulas, not necessarily recipes, but the formulas that we have for like how much of ingredients like to make the Moose Tracks popcorn.
I mean, it all has to be consistent.
Correct.
So you have to have a formula.
So yes, we have formulas that we follow, but that's the difference between like my popcorn company versus another popcorn company. So they have their formulas, I have mine. So we have our nice little white book Bible in our shop. It's not under lock and key, like, you know.
Like it should be.
Yeah.
Like 11 herbs and spices for Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yes.
Or the secret sauce at Back Room.
But at some point, we might have to. But yeah. Yep. So.
Now, I've never been to your store to buy popcorn. So what would I see as I walked in the door? Like, can you walk me through the door?
This is radio. If you walked in our door, you come into our small little retail area where we actually sell our popcorn. And we've kind of made it a fun place to visit. And we've got murals on the wall.
I did see the pictures. It looks really cool.
And we do have a window into the production room. So sometimes you can see us working. And we've got our popcorn mascot we call the Colonel,
of course,
that you can put your face through and take a picture with. And then behind the scenes is the whole production area where we make everything and we bag everything. And
when did you make, now you said you've been doing this for 8 years. When
yes.
did you make the transition from doing it at home to you know, realizing, oh my gosh, this has gotten so big that we need to actually be in another space? How long did that take you?
It took me from the first 4 years because I had a craft room in my basement. I used to be crafty. Now I have no time for that. But, and then we turned that into a little popcorn kitchen. And then it started spilling out into like the hallway area of the basement. And then when Jesse, my oldest, had left, his room down in the basement became my office. And then there were times when things just got really crazy. And so we decided it was becoming unproductive to be there. You know, when you get to a point where you're actually not making money because you got to move this to do that,
exactly.
move that to do this, and we decided we needed to get real and move out and find some space. So
now is the basis of, like, you know, I'm looking at the we have like a lot of different flavors here, but like, is the base like the same? Like, do you pop popcorn and then you have it separate and then you flavor them?
Depending on what type of flavor we're making. So if we either pop it without salt or with salt.
Okay. But so, they're all popped the same.
Yeah, we pop in a commercial popper. It's not a popping process like you see when people make kettle corn. What we do is a different entirely. It's kind of like when you go to the movie theater, and our poppers are not encased in glass, but they are like those large, big popping machines.
Yours must be huge.
We have two. We have a 36 and a 60. So it pops. I don't know if it goes by cups or quarts. I don't know. Sorry. 36 ounce
Jesse
and 60 ounce.
That.
That's what it is. Yeah. See, I'm so far removed from popping anything anymore. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you mean. When people ask me detailed questions about the diner, I'm like, I got to talk to Brian, my director of operations.
Yeah. Well, Jesse's the man. He's the one who makes
exactly
like practically everything now. It's a 36 ounce and a 60 ounce popper. So it pops a lot. So we either do it plain, which is no salt, or salted. So if it's going to be a savory flavor, it's popped without salt because a lot of the seasonings already have sodium in them. Right. We don't want to add to that. If we're going to make chocolates, they're usually, like I said, most of the deluxe flavors all start out as caramel. So we have to take the salted popcorn and make all the caramel first. And then we would go into coating them with chocolate. So there's a lot of steps involved. It's not just, you know, you're just popping popcorn. And not that it's rocket science, don't get me wrong, but there's just a lot of steps from the time, you know, we put the seed in the popper to the time it gets to a finished bag.
But especially with the amount of flavors that you have. I mean, you have a ton of different flavors.
Well, believe it or not, there's a lot of companies that do a lot more. We have about 25 flavors at any given time. And the reason we keep it to about 25 is because we're Michelle's Totally Awesome Gourmet Popcorn. So we want the flavors to be totally awesome. We just don't want mediocre popcorn. So in order to manage that properly so that we're doing the best we can is to keep it to a minimum of flavors.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want you to tell the story of the Oscars asking you to put your product in their celebrity goodie bags and what it took to make that happen. It was quite an adventure.
So
I've heard
cool.
the story. You'll love it, too, so don't go away. This is Food for Thought on The Pulse, 107.7 WTPL with Carol and Mike. Back with Michelle Holbrook of Michelle's Totally Awesome Gourmet Popcorn next right here on The Pulse.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, and on this beautiful Tuesday. And just want to remind people also that Food for Thought will not be airing tomorrow due to the Red Sox. So we won't be here tomorrow, but we'll be back on Thursday. And we are in studio right now with Michelle Holbrook of Totally Awesome Gourmet Popcorn. You can check her out on the web also at nhpopcorn.com. And I think she has a story to share with us. I'm anxious to hear this.
Well, as it turns out, this was, I think, the first interview you had ever done.
Yes,
you
correct.
Had. Maybe we had texted, well, not texted, we had emailed, and you told me that you had been asked by the Daytime Emmys, not the Oscars, I got that wrong. The Daytime Emmys wanted you to bring your Totally Awesome Popcorn to California and put it in the bags of swag that all the celebrities get.
So
and,
cool.
And there's a lot of people that could ask to do that. I'm not sure how they got your name, but
walk I can us, tell you.
Who was it?
It was Val and Mike from Off the Wall Productions.
In Bedford, right?
Oh, they're so cool, those people.
So they're well connected. I mean, Good Morning America, Today Show. But all right, so. Okay, that's great. I'm thinking, all right, you just put it all in boxes and you fly it to California. Oh, no.
No.
It wasn't quite that easy. So take us through the steps one by one and don't leave any details out.
Well, it was actually in Las Vegas, Nevada that year. And they'd found us because we had won the Best in New Hampshire for the caramel popcorn. They're being from this area, they were looking for popcorn, and that's how that haul happened. So I immediately, yes. And we wanted to wow them with our chocolate flavors. And of course, the event is the end of June. And not once did I even think of it's Nevada, it's, 105 degrees, and I've got to ship chocolate popcorn. And we're talking 1,400 bags of popcorn.
Now, 1,400 of these bags?
These little bit smaller than this, but still. And we were still in our home when we were making this. And now what popcorn lacks in weight, it surely makes up for in volume. And as you know, UPS and FedEx charge you by volume. So in order to ship it overnight to Las Vegas was going to be like $5,000, which was a lot of money when you're a very, very tiny business. So I started looking into refrigerated trucks. And of course, those are not any cheaper because unless you are renting the entire tractor trailer, which it wouldn't take up that much, you are what's considered LTL, which is less than truckload, and means if you need a refrigerated truck, you're on standby. So if they happen to be going out there and they can take your product, they will. If not, you have to wait until they can. Well, it needs to be out there by a certain date. So we looked into renting a van and driving it ourselves. And even then, once you cross the Mississippi line, they start charging you mileage. So we're talking like a couple $1,000s. And we were like, oh my God, how are we going to do this? So we have an Explorer. And my husband said, you know what? We'll drive it out there ourselves and we'll just drive nonstop. So he rigged up our Explorer. We had put things in the window. He had take little dryer hose coming out of the air conditioning unit, and we had a curtain behind the front seat, so all the seats were down. And I mean, literally, it was like this little refrigerated truck. And
must have smelled really good.
Yeah.
Well, he did a trial run, and he took it out for an hour, and he's like, "Oh yeah, piece of cake, it'll work." And we had to put the popcorn in trash bags. And in order to get all 1,400 in there, and the seats were like literally straight up and down. So there was not going to be any sleeping, but we were driving straight through. And I was going prepared to bring like my winter coat, my mittens and blankets. And he's like, oh, you'll be fine. It's not that bad, really. But his hour test drive was all he did. So needless to say, he's in shorts and a t-shirt, and I still have stuff, but I brought a blanket, and by New York, we were like ice cold. I mean, it was like 54 degrees, and you can't stop because it's summer. So, and the chocolate will melt. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So we stopped at this Walmart. I don't even know where we were. For the few minutes we could spare, seeing if there was any jackets or mittens or anything.
in June.
Yeah, I found garden gloves for myself, and he got this lady's sweat jacket for him, and that's all we had, literally. But we made it to Las Vegas, and we must have looked like such a sight, because we're pulling up to, I think it was the Hilton, I don't even know, but this fancy hotel, you know, with all the gold everywhere, and you know, the concierge, and we must have looked like crap, because we've been in a car for 24 hours, no shower, no anything, and what are we hauling out of here but garbage bags? I mean, literally. So we got New Hampshire plate, garbage bags, and we had to tell the people, the bellhops, look, this needs to get from here in there, like, stat, because we didn't drive all this way to have this stuff melt, sitting, waiting for somebody to come haul it into.
And it was
the
all
hotel.
Okay when you opened up the bags.
Yes.
Everything
yes.
was all.
Yes. But because we drove it out there, Val and Mike had invited us to actually, if we helped them put all the stuff together, that we could actually hand it to the celebrities. So, of course, we found that out last minute. But then we also found out that because we were this whole thing, the Daytime Emmys had decided to let us walk the red carpet. We got to dine with the celebrities that evening in the VIP room. So we also got to see the show. We had front center room, ballroom tickets, whatever, to see the show live. So
cool.
What this turned out to be an excellent adventure, which from the start we thought was going to be a disaster in the making.
So did you have good enough clothes for the red carpet? Did you think that you should bring that stuff with you?
Yes. My husband did get a tux, and I found a dress. So we did have stuff. Yes. But that's how I got to know you, because I had written this story for my local paper, the Loudoun Ledger, and Mike and Tracy.
Oh,
I listened
right.
to them all the time on the radio, and they were talking about s'mores one day. And so I said, and we have a s'mores popcorn that we make in the summer. So I decided I put in this package together, s'mores popcorn, and said, hey, I got some. And I stuck my little, story, mm-hmm. not thinking anybody would even read it. And I sent it off to your station, and then lo and behold, you emailed me. So, yes, you asked me to come on the show.
See, I knew you would remember the circumstances better than me. But, you know, when you're on the radio and you're talking to a lot of people, you have to get a lot of guests. You can spot a great story like that a mile away. It may not have been a big – well, I know it was a big deal to you. But
it was
you
a big deal to us,
you
yes.
didn't expect anything would come of it, but
no.
I'm looking at that thinking – this is a great story.
Of course.
We need to get her on the air and let her.
Well, he's probably thinking this girl was crazy. So.
Crazy is good on radio, by the way. Normal
yes.
is boring.
But that was my first time on the air ever. I was so nervous. I was literally crying sitting on the telephone with you, Mike, as he's asking me questions about this trip.
Now, was that before the trip?
This was after the trip.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I was on the, he was asking me about the trip for the radio. And I'm sitting there because I was so nervous. And nobody can see me, thank God. But yeah, I was like crying like
couldn't
a baby.
Couldn't tell. Honestly, you tell me that 4 years later, I did not detect that.
Thank God.
Now, I don't remember if you sounded nervous or not. I just remember the story was good. And that's all that matters.
Well, I still have that radio interview, the file.
Really?
So, yeah, it's actually, it's on our website, I believe. So I'd have to listen to it again.
Foodforthought.com will also have your appearance today when it gets posted.
I'm much more relaxed now, though.
Yeah, well, you've got great stories.
You.
And so, Carol, what have you, did you dip into the moose tracks?
Oh, my gosh. Are people listening to me crunching?
Well, our moose tracks is meant to be like the ice cream flavors.
It is crazy how good it is. It's not even funny.
It's,
oh, my gosh.
It's glazed popcorn coated in white chocolate.
I just read the calories.
Oh, yeah. Don't look at those.
They're overrated.
Glazed popcorn coated in white chocolate. We mix in the little tiny peanut butter cups, and the drizzle is a milk chocolate and peanut butter drizzle. So it's a pretty popular flavor. That one's fairly new. We haven't had it since the beginning. It was my idea, but then a couple customers had mentioned doing some flavors related to ice cream flavors.
All right. So, I mean, you're in some specialty stores. We see you at the various shows. Probably, do you do farmers markets occasionally?
Not too much anymore.
Not too much of that, huh? It's tough in the summer with the chocolate popcorn,
yeah.
I suppose. But So what about like a Market Basket or a Shaw's or a Hannaford? Have you ever come close to negotiating in shelf space? Because your product clearly is good enough, but maybe it's too high price point for them.
Well, yeah, probably. I am in Shaw. I am in one Shaw's.
Oh, you are? Which one?
In Milford, New Hampshire.
Oh.
You can find it over in the bakery area. I could possibly be in a few more Shaw's, but it's a lot of work to be in a Shaw's.
Fresh Market.
I'm in the Fresh Market in Bedford and Harvest Market, and Hollis, as well as Sully's and Goffstown and Allenstown. So those are like those are more smaller grocery stores. I have not tried Market Basket or Hannaford. So,
have you hit the ceiling then for about as much as you can produce and everything?
No, we can produce more. We focus more on retail though than we do on the wholesale part. The wholesale is just kind of fills in the gaps in the slower periods, but we pretty much push the retail end of things. I do a lot of events like home shows, craft shows.
This event this weekend, Made New Hampshire,
yes.
That's going to be a big event for you.
Yes,
you know,
it's
they
a big
say
event.
Like over 10,000 people come,
there's a lot
correct?
Of people, yes. A lot of sampling.
Is
so,
that
yes.
your biggest sales event of the year in terms of shows, do you think?
No, actually, we started doing some what they call chocolate expos out in other parts of the, well, down in Connecticut, New York, and those are pretty much one-day events, but everything is pretty much focused on chocolate. So we actually fit nicely in that type of environment and do really well as well with that. Plus, we get the residual of internet orders from being so far away. People want more.
Right,
order online,
right.
So that
exactly.
helps our online business.
Well, that was a quick...
I can't believe the music just went
20
on.
Minutes.
I'm so upset.
Who would think we could talk popcorn for that long?
I know.
Michelle Holbrook of Michelle's Totally Awesome Gourmet Popcorn. Their retail outlet is in Epsom. And it's been a great pleasure to know you all these years and to see the success you've had and the creativity that goes into this and the fact that you're very comfortable behind the microphone now.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle.
I totally appreciate you having me on today.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you're listening to Food for Thought. And when we come back at the top of the hour, we'll be talking with Jimmy Dunn. So stay tuned and come back. We'll be right back.